G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, June 18. I'm John Barker. Joining me as usual, Joel Marshall, Carl Diorio. Well, a fairly quiet day as far as black type racing goes around the country, but there's plenty of big fields, should be plenty of value, Joel. And the Ipswich Cup Day is the focus of black type racing, and as I've written in Best Bets this week, pretty good day for punters generally.
Yes, it's always a good race meeting at Ipswich. Usually big fields and can often get a little bit of interference. There's a couple of smallish fields there. The Cup's not overly big, but the other fields, there's a bit of size to them. And yeah, I guess you're just trying to pick some of the horses that may be coming to the end of it, or some horses that are just still new into their preparation that have got a bit left in the tank.
All right, well, the other thing that's going on around the world at the moment, Carl, is Royal Ascot. Have you been burning the midnight oil watching the action from Berkshire?
No, just the what you can see on YouTube and what hasn't been taken off, and also Twitter. But it's been quite good. I mean, the Australian interest probably isn't there. Won't be there until Holler, of course, runs on Saturday night or the early hours of Sunday morning our time. The Japanese horse, Shinakari, obviously flopped in the Prince of Wales. He's a lot better than that, but good meeting. But I think probably more interest from my perspective will be on finding the quaddy at Mooney Valley.
All right, but speaking of Holler, most of those Godolphin Daly horses, they seem to they send over some superstars that just go backwards in a hurry. Do you think Holler might go in the opposite direction? I mean, no absolute superstar over here, and he'll need to improve sharply if he's going to win the Gold Diamond Jubilee.
You'd suspect so. The other thing, I guess, Godolphin's had actually a good carnival. I think they've had at least two, possibly three winners. I think they had three on the second day. Exactly right. So they are going good, but Holler, you'd say, is a genuine B-class sprinter in Australia. And if he was in the Group 1 1200-metre Daly Classic, he'd probably go around 15-1.
All righty. Well, let's turn our focus back to our own shores, and specifically to Ipswich, which, as I mentioned, is where all the black-type racing is happening this weekend, all three of them. And we'll go through all three. The first of those, Joel, Race 6, Channel 7, Ipswich Cup, 2150 metres.
Yeah, going number one, Puccini. It was really good, too. Starts back when he finished second behind his stablemate, Real Love. Put a pen through his run last week in the Brisbane Cup. He got back, three back along the fence, and the race just passed him by. The horses out wide got going. He had nowhere to go, and then Kieran McAvoy didn't to knock him around the last 100 metres or so, and I think you can certainly forgive that he finished eighth. Hopefully they go forward. John Allen up to Queensland to take the ride. I've got him just ahead of Morris, who's a deserved favourite. His Doomben Cup run was really good, finishing fifth. That looks a strong form line, and he's clearly the hardest to beat. Three Worthy Cause and five Jumbo Prince, both stepping up in trip. I think it'll both suit them, and they go in for third and fourth.
All right, well, I've got a couple of fun facts about the Ipswich Cup. 33 of the past 61 winners have been Kiwi breeds, including 9 of the past 12. So, Joel, you're right on the money there.
That helps with Puccini, and the other runner is Iggy Pop.
And although last year's was, in fact, British bred, I think the first Northern Hemisphere bred winner in the history of the Ipswich Cup. And my other fun fact I can tell you is that Al Lucas, 2010, is the only last start winner to have won the Ipswich Cup since Umpala in 1994. And how many runners does that help us eliminate? None, because there are no last start winners in Saturday's field.
Dan Chai won the race last year.
Yes, indeed.
Chris Waller importing has Dance of Heroes, who's also in Sydney, but I would assume they'll be going to Ipswich for that race.
Okie dokie. Well, plenty of precedents there. Race 7 at Ipswich on Saturday. City of Ipswich, Eyeliner Stakes, 1350 metres.
Yeah, I've gone with number 7, Trubia. He's set a bit short in the market, 350, 360. But look, he's a talented horse. I've always liked him. He's taken the step up to black type company this time, and he's handled it pretty well. He was a good fourth, two runs back. And then last week in the QTC Cup, he was unable to get any cover from the wide gate. He was wide on speed, entitled to weak, and he finished eighth, but it wasn't a disgraceful run. Barrier one on Saturday, drop in class, he gets his chance to win a stakes race. So I've got in ahead of 10 Beckham, who will try and cross from that wide gate and lead. He's up a bit in class, but he's a good on pace, and now that he's found winning form, he might be able to keep going. 1/9 Legion's a big improver. He's a class horse, 59 kilos. Forget his two runs this time in. He's much better on top of the ground. If the track remains firm, he can improve. And 3 Saluto won well first up.
Alrighty, and to take us out at Ipswich on Saturday, race 8, Sky Racing Gay Waterhouse Classic, 1350 metres. Favourite has won this race in each of the past 5 years. And in your winning post this week, the favourite is number 10, the Mike Moroney trained Serenade. Joel, you're going for a horse who could end up as favourite, who knows, in number 2, Echo Gal, who would also become, I believe, the first Gay Waterhouse trained winner of the Gay Waterhouse Classic.
Yeah, we had Gay's Choice win it 2 or 3 years ago, but of course wasn't trained by her. But Echo Gal, yeah, look, she's taken on the boys both runs this time in. The BTC Cup was a bit tough. QTC Cup last week, her run wasn't too bad. She box-seated along the rails, as it turned out. That wasn't the place to be, and she ground away pretty well to finish sixth. She was a length and a half from Cradle Me back in December. That was 5 runs back, and that's good enough for her dropping back to mare's grade from a good draw. I've got her ahead of Serenade, who's a talented filly, drawn well. Number 11, Elusive Catch, I reckon, is a good roughie from a good barrier. She improved nicely last time out. And number 1, Scarlet Billows, another dropping back from taking on the boy. She also ran in the BTC Cup and found it a bit tough.
Echo Gal may not only be Gay Waterhouse's first winner of the Gay Waterhouse Classic, she might almost be her first runner, because I checked that out a couple of years ago. She definitely hadn't had a runner up to Lynn, so unless she's had one in the last couple of years, this could be her first, which you'd think is unusual. I mean, God, you think if someone names a race after you, you'd at least have the decency to put a few runners in it. Fantastic. So, Joel, earlier in the day, however, is when your best bet comes up, and we've got this horse marked at $5 in winning post, and yet no one seems to be able to hear of it getting beaten.
Yeah, he's not favourite. I speak of number 11, Salmanazar. Favourite, I think, is D9L, stablemate, who's very consistent. She's a consistent filly, and she'll put herself in the right spot and run well. But did speak with Tony Golan earlier in the week for a story, and he was pretty bullish about Salmanazar. He thought D9L would run well, but Salmanazar's looked pretty good. He led all the way first up and bolted in with his maiden. Stepped up in class at the Sunshine Coast, took a sit, and cruised up on the turn and put his rivals to the sword. It looked really good the last 100 metres. He's out of Maslin's Beach, a former pretty good filly who won a Sunshine Coast Guineas, and that's where this bloke's headed in a fortnight's time if he can win on Saturday. So he's my best. My value is Mandrika in race 5, the Provincial Stayers Series final. He needs a scratching. He's the first emergency. But look, he showed plenty of promise last prep. He put 3 wins together. He got up in trip and won well. And then this time in, they've been mixing his distances. He was coming along well. He ran a good placing 3 starts back. They dropped him back to 1,200 2 runs back. That was too short. And then I thought the latest run with a big weight wasn't too bad. I think he's just been ticking over for this. Just needs luck to sneak a run.
I was chatting to a mate of mine, Taryn Clark, who took a few photos for us in this week's winning post last weekend at the Stradbroke, and he tells me that Mandrika, irrespective if they get a run at Ipswich, will line up at the Gold Coast on Saturday instead, which is incredibly hard to believe, but just keep an eye out for that.
So that man's got no chance of running at Ipswich.
Yeah, well, that's what he told me. So
that will be an absolute certainty at the Gold Coast.
Yeah, just launch.
Alrighty, well, back in Melbourne, we're racing at Moonee Valley for the first time in quite some time. So, virgin turf, fairly big fields. Should be able to find a winner or two, shouldn't we, Joel?
Yeah, I would think so. A couple of nice races there. Look, I've made my best chance to dance, race 8, number 4. Wary, because the team Williams, Robert Hickmott Yard, train him, and also have Almandon, a newcomer to Australia, has a very, very strong international form, and obviously keen to see the betting moves, but Chance to Dance was very good first up, hit the line strongly at Flemington. He won first up last prep, defeating the United States, which of course is good form, and then he went to Sydney for the Hill Stakes and was beaten just over 2 lengths in a pretty strong race. So I think he's come back in good order, and I think he'd be pretty hard to beat. He's my best, and my value is in race 6. I thought there was a couple of mares in here with a bit of a rough chance, but number 13, Charitan, doesn't win out of turn, but she's a pretty handy sprinting mare, and she had 59.5 kilos first up against the males after the claim for Jess Payne. Gets in with 51, and for a mare who finished a good second to Azcadelli of 5 runs back, I think that's a decent weight drop and a big odds. You can have a couple of dollars on her.
Don't really have a best bet at Moonee Valley, but just 3 horses to play around with at an each-way price. Race 3, number 6, Sismo. I thought the effort at Sandown Hillside last time behind Turn of the Round was quite good. I think it can turn the tables. I know that Turn of the Round is, gets in reasonably well after the claim again for Ben Thompson. But Sismo, two starts ago for Caulfield, got home against a strong tempo. And then last time it was just a bit of a sit sprint. Turn of the Round did sprint sharper. But around Mooney Valley, again on a forgiving surface from barrier one.
Cool. But what about the Caulfield Cup favourite there?
Oh, the Roar Impulse. I mean, that was the biggest hype horse of all time. And funnily enough, I'm led to believe that Connections inspired him to go to the McKell Cup in the Brisbane, with the prospect of heading to Brisbane for the Brisbane Cup. And supposedly stable
trainer not quite so keen.
Not quite as keen. But here he is lining up again. So might just be a bit of a risk there, Roar Impulse. And is he favourite? I think he's odds on favourite.
$1.70 in your winning post.
Wouldn't be touching that. Race 5, number 16 is the other one. Pretenza, I should say. This horse was an easy Moe winner last time in maiden grade. It hit rain affected surface for the first time, really won impressively. Two jump outs since have been fantastic. She's out of that really handy 2 year old Rostover who won the Robert Sangster. And if she can overcome the outside barrier, I'm sure she'll be in the finish. And the other one worth mentioning is Nicosine in the last. Not drawn the best out wide. That's probably the only curveball. He loves this 1200 at Mooney Valley. He's a very talented horse on his day. He'll love to give him the ground. The only horse there I think that can knock him off is the 7, Magnus Rain, who was a real eye catcher first up in Adelaide and draws favourably in barrier 2.
You just hate Duke of Brunswick, don't you? You just
refuse. I made him a best bet first up, and he ran fourth, so I'm never forgiving him for that.
I'm going against Pronteza, which could be foolish, but I'm just counting on barrier 16 to stop Pronteza, either that or possibly not getting a run. With race 5, number 6, Striking Lee, very, very impressive on debut, and then just got there in midweek, second up, but did have to overcome some problems, which I think will stand her in good stead at the Val. And my value bet was another of these Chris Waller GB horses, and that is race 2, number 6, The Rumour File, around about $8.50. Oh, I've got to stop saying fitty, it's so annoying, isn't it? Rose Hill Gardens is the venue for Sydney racing on the Saturday. Good, solid fields, and going against the Diorio practice, Joel, you're getting some cash for us early on the card.
Yes, I am. Well, I'm expecting that second race to only have 5 runners, and I think Loophole will win. Dance of Heroes, assuming he goes to Ipswich, there'll only be 5 runners, and Chris Waller will have Beyond Thankful and Loophole. Sabrina's come up favourite. I'm happy with that. I'm happy to take 350, 360 Loophole if he can get something like that. He's got a really good third up record. He's come back in good order. Got a winnable weight. I think he'll be winning. And my value is Thrill Seeking. Couldn't find a spot for her in the Gay Waterhouse Classic, where she's drawn wide. I hope they run in Sydney. From barrier 1, she'll get a lovely run. She's had the 2 runs back. Forget the first up run around Doomben. Last time out against the boys in Sydney was pretty good. She should get a lovely run, and I think $8 or $9 each way. I think she's worth a bet if they stay in Sydney.
Yeah, I agree with you about Loophole. I think it's struck its right race. It's going to be awfully hard to beat in that race. I have gone, though, with my best bet being race 6, number 14, Emberley. This horse got a little bit of time for the son of High Chaparral. His first up run was really good. He was held up on the home turn in the early part of the straight, but once he burst into the clear, he rushed home into third position behind Arvanarco. I think he's going to suit over a little bit further, and I think he can get the job done in race 6, pending him gaining a start in the field as first emergency. And in the second last race 8, number 11, PMEME, this horse was good first up in the Luskin Star, ran home strongly behind Clearly Innocent and Music Magnate, and there's been so many other good horses come out that race and then win subsequent. And then second up on the heavy 10, it does handle heavy going, but didn't get the best of rides, was held up for much of the straight, changing course, and should have finished much closer than what it did. I think represents great value at around about the $17 mark.
Alrighty, Morfordville, they are racing on the course proper, Carl, and What about early in the program? There's a race full of there's mainly first starters, and Never Be Discreet. What's the provenance of that filly?
Well, I like the pedigree. These horses are Philip Stokes, Exceeding Excel out of the mare. She's Discreet. He trains most of the family, but my recollection, this horse was among the nominees for the Blue Diamond. Before Samara Dancer stepped out and won so impressively, this one was also paid up for, but we didn't see her debut. So obviously if they put her in the Blue Diamond nominations, early doors, she has shown a little bit of early ability. And I guess this time of year, races like the De Quetville and the Dermody, they might be on the agenda for Never Be Discreet. And I think given he's had success with some relations in that race. So that's certainly one to follow. Best bet wise, I'm sure it's late in the day.
It is. It's race 8, number 12, Sharka.
Race 8, number 12. Oh, yeah. Well, that was the that was the horse that was a really good jump out winner. And this horse won impressively on debut at Mornington, sat outside the lead, got the job done, and then failed at Geelong when I think it had enough that campaign. The Dam, the Lone Express. This horse was owned by the ones that do the Jayco,
Jerry
Ryan. And he brought it out from Ireland, this sprinter. And it was quite good. It won at Mooney Valley and showed plenty of ability, but injury plagued. And interesting to see this son of Snitzel, well-bred, I think. Worth following its progress. And what was the
race 6, number 13, Secret Men's Business, at and around about $25.
Yeah, this one and Daniel Borg's made his best. At, first two runs this campaign were fantastic, then just outclassed in the $100,000 race. And then last time was ridden by a 3-kilo claiming apprentice who got lost on it, and he has been replaced for another 3-kilo claiming apprentice, and hopefully he's given a bit more better ride this time.
Alrighty, Belmont once again is the venue for Saturday racing at in Perth. And Joel, you've got a couple that do need to overcome Barrier 12 for us.
Yes, King River's my best, race 4, number 11 from the Grant Williams team, Willie Pike to ride. Finished strongly to win over the 1200, two starts back. They dropped him back to 1000. And he just found that a bit sharp. He was hitting the line well for second. He's going to get back. So the white gate's probably not such a big hassle for him. He just needs a bit of luck, a bit of pace on. And the 1200 will really suit him. And my value was race 5, number 9, It's Dynamite. As you mentioned, also drawn 12 of 13. This filly's going to need a little bit of luck, but her first up run was good. She showed good ability last time in, and she can run you a good race each way. And it looks a pretty competitive three-year-old race.
All right, earlier in the day and across the Tasman, we head to Awapuni, and they are, in true Spinal Tap style, turning that dial up to 11.
Yeah, it's a heavy 11 for the Manawatu Hurdles and Manawatu Steeplechase. There is also a maiden hurdle and a maiden steeple, so a real jumping day at Awapuni. My best comes up on the flat, race 4, number 6, Slimline. She is racing pretty well. It was a good effort last time out, finishing third. I don't think coming back to 1200 is that big a problem, and the claim gets her in pretty light with 53 kilos, and my value is in the maiden hurdle, race 2, number 10, ZD Duda Deco. It's a bit of a mouthful, but pretty honest sort of flat performer, no star, but makes his jumps debut, and both flat runs this time have been pretty good. Just keep a watch on him. The other meeting is at Ruakaka, which is one of the best wet weather tracks or winter racing surfaces in New Zealand. Doesn't get too wet there, and the track is a dead 5. My best is Pio Mai, which is in race 5, number 6. Resumed off a bit of a let up last time out and ran really well, finishing 4th over the 1400. The step up to a mile suits perfectly, and my value is Cherry Bane, race 8, number 11. Placed behind Perfect Fit. Few runs back. Last run didn't have much luck, caught wide, and if she can get a little bit of luck and get up towards the pace, she can certainly improve at odds.
If anyone from Sky Channel is listening to the podcast, it'd be nice if they actually showed these races as well, rather than putting up the TAB market, betting odds for GWS versus Sydney in another 24 hours time.
Yeah, it was a bit last week. We missed the final race at Trentham, final race at Tarapa, and they had, what, an 8-minute lead in for Darwin on Sky 2. So,
yeah, it would have been nice to see how Joel's best bet of the day got back.
Would have been, yes. It was a good run, though, if you listen. Stick with it.
Alrighty, well, that wraps up a massive, well, no, not that massive, let's be honest, Saturday of racing around Australasia. And leaves us only to advise you to buy a winning post if you haven't already, because apart from that huge Saturday, we've got form for Friday and Sunday and fields for Monday. And, well, there's not really much, all that much action to speak of on the sale. Well, there's big fields and jumps racing at Hamilton and big fields at sale as well. And there's also the Warhope Cup, of course, the time-honoured Warhope Cup at Port Macquarie. Leaving us now to give you our best $20 bet for the weekend. And despite having made Striking Lee my best at Moonee Valley, I'm just going to go for one at a little bit more value each way, and that is race 7, number 5, Shavuma.
I'll go Sal Manazar. Happy with the $5 or $5.50 that is available. So that's Ipswich Race 2, number 11.
And I'll go Rosehill Gardens, race 8, number 11, PMEME, each way.
Okay, have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners, and we'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.